Hola. Hola. Hola.
Hola.
For our bilingual listeners, bonjour. Good morning.
Jeez.
It's Dave, Katie, Nate.
Hey.
And Matt George, everybody.
Matt is back.
Return of the Matt. Yeah, he's back.
Return of the Matt.
Oh, God. I thought it was going to be wrestling music. This is actually preferable. Matt George is back. By the way, thanks to, we didn't go into this enough yesterday. Thanks to Chuck for filling in Thursday, Friday, Monday. A freaking fantastic job. This isn't an easy show to run. You have a lot of terrible personalities. And on top of that, you've got all kinds of technical stuff going on. And I thought he slid in and did things phenomenally. Matt, honestly, when your contract comes up, I don't know.
Oh, stop it.
There it is.
Yeah.
It's cooking.
Not one wrestling song from Chuck. Here's the thing. Maybe Matt's slightly better. Maybe his numbers are slightly better than Chuck's. His OB is on-base percentage.
What numbers?
A little more power. But Matt's going to be looking for a long-term contract somewhere in the max range. Maybe we just go younger with Chuck.
Yeah. You're saying I have more power than Chuck?
Maybe you're
a slap hitter.
Let's say maybe you're faster on the base paths.
That's better.
All right. More stolen bases.
In this age of advanced metrics, speed plays better than it did in the past.
If we've proven anything over the last 3 days is that Matt's wins over replacements is not as high as we thought it was.
I could have told you that.
I think we did a bad job managing his major league service time, too. I mean, we can't even take him to arbitration or anything. Like, he's young, and he's no longer under team control when this contract expires.
That's a great point.
What in the world are you guys talking about?
Just saying, and by the way, there's Katie Christensen in Denver in a studio. She's going to sound now, but why do you, are there people around you?
You sound like you don't want anyone to hear what you're saying.
You sound like a sex operator.
Whoa. No, I'm all by myself in here, and thank you for that analogy.
It's just like,
a sex operator.
Hey guys. I'm in a studio.
I'm talking like normal into the microphone. I don't know if they have some kind of special board here that makes me sound sexy.
That's probably what it is. Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm sure.
All right, let's go with a ruling. Let's go around the room. Matt George, does she sound like she normally does?
I'm going to get in trouble already. No, she doesn't.
Thank you, Nate. Nate Goodyear.
She does not.
She does not. Ooh. I'm going to go with she does not either. That is 3-0. Katie does not sound like she normally does.
One more strike and you're out, Christensen.
Yeah, great
point. This is what happened, okay?
Uh-huh.
I had the weirdest Uber ride to the station this morning that I've ever had, so I'm a little scared and I'm hiding in the studio underneath the table.
Here's the thing. She had me through the first three quarters of that whole thing. I was like, wait, really? Like, do we need to call somebody?
I really did have a weird Uber driver today, you guys.
But let's just be clear. You're not hiding under a studio, right?
I'm not hiding under the table in the studio.
Because I can see that. Like, she has a mic pulled down and a blanket over her. She just looks like a ghost broadcasting.
Could you imagine me trying to hide under any table? Yeah, come on now.
Right, exactly.
It's like throwing a comforter on a giraffe. Where's the giraffe? Hey. I don't know. It's 6:06. Time to save money at the pump. Text Dave to 83835 now to save 25 cents a gallon on your second fill up at all participating Shell gas locations. Stack those rewards and save even more money. Hey, Katie, since we have you and you sound so fantastic, watch the game last night. I've watched, watch every game, watch the Jazz game. I feel like there's some documentary coming up at some point, but you guys haven't talked about it at all.
Yeah,
can you clear that up?
Yeah, they're promoting that kind of big time, huh? Yeah, it's a CSN documentary that airs on Friday on CSN Bay Area. At 8 p.m.
Mom
now,
boy.
This is like a national documentary. It's going to be running nationally. And so I put out on my Instagram and I think maybe Facebook the other day as well, like all the different, markets that it's airing in, what channels and when it airs. But yes, it's called Tomboy. And so, I'm in it. But like important people are in it, like Billie Jean King.
I saw the commercial with Billie Jean King. She didn't like the word Tomboy. And then she figured out, then you guys put the line through Tomboy and she liked it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, is that what that is?
Yeah.
See, here's the thing.
I get it now.
I posted a picture like the Tomboy trailer stuff where they had the line through Tomboy.
Yeah.
It's the exact same font and style as the Playing to Win documentary. We did the same thing.
You should take them to court, Dave.
We should. Like, you put the Playing to Win up, and then there was a line drawn through it, and the exact font, the exact black background, the exact coloring. for Playing to Win, because I didn't understand it either. And I went to the filmmakers. So I was like, why does every trailer we have a line through the movie? Does that mean, like, you don't want to go see it? It sucks. And they said the idea was that you were, because the trailer would say, like, hope, promise, and there'd always be a line through the words. It was that you're crossing off lists in order to keep the Kings in Sacramento. That was their big gig, which I thought was very questionable, but I got overruled. In Tomboy's case, that just means, like, Tomboy's a dumb word and we don't want to use it anymore.
Yeah, they're trying to get rid of the stigma. The whole basis of the documentary, and I haven't seen it in its entirety yet, I've seen different clips of it, is just that there's an exorbitant number of young girls in youth sports that are dropping out of sports because of perception. The perception of if you play sports, it's a tomboy thing. And you know, like when I was growing up, there wasn't a negative connotation kind of attached to that. At least I didn't perceive there to be one. And, you know, Billie Jean King talked about it. It was more of a negative term, you know, when she was coming up. And yeah, you know, we see people like Kim Kardashian and the Jenners and all them on magazines. And girls don't want to have that association anymore. They think it's a bad thing. And so they're dropping out of youth sports. And that is just a tragedy in and of itself. You know, you're trying to find stuff, Dave, all the time for your daughter to get involved in and that she likes. And because you know the value of them kind of learning what failure is and setting goals and all that. So that's what the documentary originated as, you know, just kind of a look at why girls are dropping out of sports at such a young age.
And you're in this. So you're like a documentary maven.
You guys, you know what's crazy about this? And we need to have Sean Madison on, who created this. He definitely wants to come on our show and talk about it, so we should do that this week. By the way, we're just doing programming stuff right now on the air because I forgot to tell you guys about that.
Yeah, we can't have him on, by the way.
Oh, we can't?
No.
Sad.
Yeah,
why?
That sucks. No, we were thinking about that, but then some stuff came up.
Oh, is it like logistics stuff?
No, I don't like him.
Oh, yeah, well, there we go.
We got in a fist fight like 4 years ago.
No way.
Yeah, we did, outside of a bar in Elk Grove.
Okay, now I know that's not true.
No,
outside of a bar.
Oh, I was drinking heavy. Let me tell you something.
Those those Arnold Palmers, they make them super strong.
They do. Words were exchanged. Insults flew. No, we can have Sean on whenever you want. Sean's a good guy.
You know, we've talked on the show before about kind of everyone gets a trophy type thing. So, like, I shot this months ago. And we just sat there in a park and talked. And then I saw my bit last night when we ran it during the game. And I was like, oh, yeah, lots of parents are going to hate me for this.
Can we have the you know what you guys should do on your promotional tours? You should take around the lady from last night that was saying that your clothes are too revealing on the broadcast.
What is her name? Greta von Strinsen or what?
It's like June von Beaver Cleaver or whatever.
what are you guys talking about?
Sorry, inside baseball.
I got trolled last night.
I don't know.
Accidentally. She doesn't mean it.
Yeah, I don't think. Okay, so this lady gets on Twitter last night. And she says something complimentary. I'm trying to find
it. She couldn't find the where Tomboy was airing on her TV. And then she goes, and why are you wearing such a short skirt with Doug? And I just replied, I was just like, well, check your guide, because I don't know what, you know, TV service she has, cable service, whatever. And I was like, and I'm sitting down. And it's a dress, and I'm 6'3", so all of these things factor into this. But, and then, I don't know, you know, people can see everything on Twitter, and so people saw what she said and saw my response and then just kind of started piling onto her, and she kept trying to defend herself, and it got to the point where she was saying, I don't like when women objectify themselves in the media.
Her name is June. She's an English teacher.
Blow her up.
I'm not. She's super nice.
She's been a great follower. You know, I talk to her all the time on Twitter.
Yeah, that's why I'm not saying her last name. I don't want to get more. I'm just saying to the point, she seemed very nice.
I just want to say cheers to all the white knights on Twitter that stood up for Katie.
Thank you. What are those called?
They're called white knights.
Helicopter friends.
Yeah, seriously. They're not even that. They're just like these. This is like the same. I mean, you know, Katie, like it's. I'm glad that people, you know, are willing to do that for you. But it's like the same brand of creep that when you were gone, we were talking to Emily Campagno.
Yes.
It's like the same brand of Twitter creep that, like, They think that maybe if they do the right thing, that they'll get a DM from Katie saying, hey, you want to meet for drinks sometime?
Well, I will tell you
something.
It was
a lot of women, though. It was a lot of women that were supporting because, you know, she kept trying to defend it. And it was, and then finally I was like, look, June, I really like you. I said, but now you're making it sound like I'm not professional and you need to stop talking. Like, you're
making
it worse.
Nathan. So I was one of the first guys to jump on this chick, and I assure you I was not looking for a DM from Katie.
Uh-huh.
I promise you that.
Right.
Trust me when I say I was looking for...
You weren't trying to slide into my DMs?
Yeah, I was not trying to slide into to your DMs or anything else. We'll take a break. When we come back, our morning brew, here's what we're covering today. Obviously, Kings in Denver. As I have written, and it was so fun for me to write on the morning brew and the rundown, Raiders secure BOFA financing. That's, of course, B of
nice.
A, but looks like BOFA, and that's a fun joke. And we'll talk about Andrew Bogut's career. We'll look back on that, on his career with the Cavs. We'll do a retrospective and all the highlights and lowlights on his time with Cleveland. That and so much more. Scott Baer is going to join us at 7:30 to talk Raiders. Michael Duarte from NBC LA will join us. We'll talk about all the buses throwing each other under the bus and everything in Lakerland. Tons of stuff to cover. Morning brew in 5 minutes. Don't go away on the drive. Sports 1140 KHDK. 108-96, Denver breaks.
Wasn't that close.
No, it wasn't. Denver breaks their five-game losing streak. The Kings have a five-game. And let's just be honest. The Kings are going to come back to Golden 1 Center with a six-game losing streak. They won the first game after the DeMarcus Cousins trade against these very Nuggets. And
these very Nuggets.
That's
the sound of that.
All over. They've now lost five in a row. It will soon be six in a row after their game. Let's be honest. No one's going into San Antonio and beating the Spurs if you're the Kings. It's not happening.
Oh, stop it, Dave.
So hey, sorry, I'm being negative.
Spurs are due. They've won eight in a row.
Yeah, they're good though.
Yeah, they're a little bit.
They're a little good. And Kawhi Leonard is. Did you see how he single handedly won that game on both ends of the floor against Houston? Oh my God.
We were talking about that off the air, Nate and I. We got to get to MVP choices at some point. It's really tough to not include Kawhi Leonard. Now, guys, here's what's important with the Minnesota Timberwolves postponed due to slippery court, you know, like the Kings had to deal with. The Sacramento Kings now move into the seventh spot, sole possession of the seventh spot, just a half game behind the Pelicans for the sixth spot. Personally,
saying of worse record in the league.
Yeah, that's what we're fighting for right now.
Yes, but we need to clarify that for the listener that tunes in and is like, oh my God, the Drive has lost their minds.
Sounds confusing.
Katie, I wish the season had ended today with both these. This is about as good a position as you could possibly hope for, all things considered, for both them and the Pelicans. Leave it right here because the Sixers are a game and a half ahead of the Pelicans, or worse, however you want to put it. This is right where you want to be. This is where I think the lotto balls have the biggest chance to go the way the Kings want them to go.
I have to ask you guys a question.
No.
Did you see the Deadspin thing with our old friend DeMarcus Cousins?
Yes.
Of course.
Yes. They're not doing very well. So I'm kind of in the spot right now, Dave, where I think we need to worry about New Orleans. And when the trade went down, we're like, okay, that's one that we can get out of the way because they'll probably be able to, you know, contend to get into the playoffs. And I mean, the Nuggets beat us last night. Without Kenneth Faried, without Nikola Jokic, who was out with the flu, without their starting front line, they beat us. And they're figuring out ways to kind of stay in that eight spot. I don't know as of now, and they do have a rough schedule to finish, though. I don't know that Portland, New Orleans, Dallas are going to be able to sneak up in there.
New Orleans is out. I'm going to go ahead and say that.
You think so?
Yeah. I mean, well, they're a half game behind the Kings. Like, they're not. They're on the wrong end of karma now, too. I'm confident in saying that.
Looking at just for funsies, let's see. New Orleans, home Toronto at Charlotte, home Portland at Miami, home Houston, Minnesota, and Memphis. And then they go on a three-game. Yeah, it's
rough.
Yeah, you might be right. More on that, and more on that heckling situation, Katie. In fact, we have sound, for real, not a joke, for real sound of the heckler leading up to DeMarcus Cousins saying what he said. And I think it's a very interesting topic. We'll get to momentarily. Here's number two.
good news for the Raiders. Again, this is what, the third time they've had good news about finding someone to help finance the, what, $650 million portion that they need help covering to build that $1.9 billion stadium. Bank of America, you guys, stepping in. However, Oakland Mayor Libby Schaaf says that they presented a plan that's responsible and meets the needs of all parties. It's sound and economic, and to keep the Raiders in Oakland through the creation of what could become one of America's premier mixed sporting venues.
What?
Do you buy it?
No.
No, okay. Follow the money. Raiders are gone. Jerry Jones wants it to happen. It's going to happen. In fact, he wants it to happen so badly. Yeah, what is happening?
It's just me. The music just really get louder.
I mean, there was even some talk that Jerry Jones himself was trying to secure investors to take Sheldon Adelson's place once he pulled out.
Yeah.
And the league was kind of weary because they're like, yeah, Jerry might end up having a little bit too much power over the Raiders themselves. But the point is, if Jerry wants it to happen, it's going to happen. And Jerry wants it to happen.
Well, sources have vehemently denied Jerry's involvement in financing, saying that his involvement, if any, was on concessions and helping Mark Davis with some of that stuff. I don't know who the hell to believe. I just really want them to call it Bofa Stadium.
I have to ask this, though, you guys. I mean, whether
what's
or not
Bofa?
They get financing.
Please ask what Bofa is.
I know what Bofa is.
Bofa needs nuts. Sorry, go ahead.
Even if they get financing, do you guys see any way that Sheldon Adelson is going to do everything he can to prevent them from being able to build a stadium? In Nevada. I mean,
no, I know you just asked that weird. I know what you meant.
Is he going to let this happen without him being a part of it?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Don't you think that he's going to find any way possible to prevent them from being able to do that in Nevada?
He'll probably get mad about it, and he controls a lot of the construction unions and has a ton of power around there.
Exactly.
He's the dude of Nevada.
But
he is the mafia of Nevada, as Nate likes to put it.
This does, should this B of A financing be real, it does assuage a lot of the owners' concerns about having a casino guy being involved in the money aspect of the team. So there's that. Somebody's got to step in and make peace.
Yeah, get a bank. Get someone that'll rip you off dishonestly.
By the way,
little
trivia question. You remember 2 years ago when DeMarcus and Omri and Rudy and half the team all went to Israel, the pictures with the – yeah, they flew on Sheldon Adelson's plane.
No way, did they really?
Sheldon Adelson provided the plane and flew them all over there. It was apparently his own.
What's the connection with Adelson and Caspi?
I don't know if they go to the same church.
Okay, that's what I was wondering. Yeah,
they could. I don't know how to. I mean, they're both very heavily.
They're
both very heavily involved. They're both Jewish.
Okay.
They're both very heavily involved in different Jewish charities and Israel stuff and all that. So, moving on.
That, I would assume, is the Cavs radio network or maybe Cavs television. Andrew Bogut making his debut for the Cavaliers last night. He was on the court for a little over a minute when he had that collision and promptly broke his leg.
Yeah, listen, you don't ever want to see anybody get hurt, and Andrew Bogut hasn't done anybody wrong.
Really?
Has he? Wait, what'd he do? Sorry, did I miss it?
I'll just read his Twitter feed sometime.
Oh, I haven't. I've never. Is he a bad guy? Honestly,
yeah.
I never have.
Yeah.
My favorite is the article that I read that said gone in 58 seconds. Ugh. It's like, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Is he a Fabergé egg? I mean, really?
What, because he's so fragile?
He is fragile.
Well, listen, you know what? All good things come to an end. And Andrew Bogut, a long, distinguished career with the Cavaliers. his final numbers for the Cavs, he played a minute. He had no points, no rebounds, no assists, but he was -2 in his plus or minus.
Yeah. He can't be waived, can he?
No, not now that he's injured.
So isn't it crazy that he could potentially win a championship and get a ring for playing 58 seconds?
That's a great question. Does he get a ring?
Yes, of course. If they can't waive him at this point, he has to remain on the active roster.
So if he gets a ring, does he get a ring other than a coach or an owner? Does he get a ring for the least amount of time played with a team?
Let's see if Calderon gets a ring this year.
I know, right? For being signed up for all of 10 minutes?
Yeah, I can't imagine that. He never stepped foot on the floor.
No.
I mean, Andrew Bogut, technically, if the Cavs win this year, Andrew Bogut was a player on the championship Cleveland Cavaliers team.
He contributed for 58 seconds.
Yeah, I think, well, no, negative.
Right, minus two.
Minus two.
I don't know. All I know is this. Today,
can't win them all.
I'm not a Cavs fan, but all day today, I'm going to be thinking about just the way he went up the floor for the Cavs.
Yeah.
And just why that harkens memories back to me.
We'll see you in the rafters, big guy.
See you in the rafters, buddy. The big cast in the sky. We'll take a break. Come back. Kings in Denver next on The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK. Ty Lawson talking about the Spurs game.
Ly Tawson.
I love you, Ty. And, hey, stranger things have happened, and I'd love nothing more than to come into work on Wednesday and be like, I was wrong. The Kings beat the Spurs. What an amazing win. I'd love to do that.
Hey, was that really from last night, or was that from after the game in, against Utah?
Oh, they have it in the folder from last night.
I feel like that might be mislabeled.
Really?
Yeah, because he's talking about at least we don't get in at 3 or 4 in the morning, because usually when you travel to Denver on a back-to-back, you're playing a night game.
Well, damn it, then they put it in the wrong folder if you're right. And honestly, your answer makes more logical sense than him saying that the game against San Antonio is a must-win.
Yeah.
I don't know that he'd say that.
A must-win against Denver, who you're vying for a playoff spot with. Yeah, I get that.
Spoiler alert, they didn't win it. Kings lose 108-96.
But hold on a second.
Wait, there's more.
I'm looking at the standings. He said 4 games back.
Yeah.
They're currently 4 games back.
Oh.
Maybe. We'll see.
But I was with you, though. I was like, really? He must win going into San Antonio. I mean, he's right, but.
I guess.
Ugh.
Yeah, the Kings currently are exactly 4 games back with, what the hell is it, 19 games. He also referenced 19 games, too. We got to find the answer to this.
Yeah.
But they are half game up on the Pelicans.
There is this, you guys. Maybe Ty Lawson is just, you know, a little wonky in the cabeza.
I said this last night, and I can't believe I said this.
Oh, no.
I honestly think I think Ty Lawson has earned a 2 at the least, maybe 3 at the most, a year contract offer from the Kings. And I'm not talking about, like, max money or something crazy. I think he's had it for what I know I thought about the signing. I think he's played and handled himself on the court a lot better, or about as good as any of us could have hoped he would have coming in here. Mm-hmm. So if the Kings were to go into the offseason and say, hey, you know what, whatever rookie point guard we just drafted that we need to groom, I think Collison would be the better option, but I think Collison's gone. I think he's going to end up – he's going to get a good offer and end up on a good team.
But I think the one thing that the Kings have in their favor with Collison is that – when he came here, you guys, it was because he wanted to be a starting point guard in this league. He'd been backing up guys for his entire career for 5 years, and he wanted the opportunity to run a team. I don't know that there's another team out there that will give him that opportunity to do it next season.
You think he'd be comfortable signing? Because you're going to have to sign him to a 3-year deal.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
With the guard
I don't think it's a
in.
Foregone conclusion is what I'm saying.
Katie, I think your point's completely right. I think starting is really important. I mean, he said on the show that starting's really important to him.
Yeah.
When he was coming off his suspension for the domestic violence at the beginning of the year, he had to work his way back in the starting lineup. Ty Lawson was starting, and he said on the show, you know, I'm not going to lie, I really want to start. I want to get in there, and eventually he was. But I think if they re-signed him, it's very clear. They're going to draft a point guard in this year's draft.
Yeah.
And whoever, you know, if Collison gets signed to a 3-year deal, it's going to be like, dude, you're starting right now. But as soon as this other guy is ready to start sooner rather than later, we're going to go with him.
Right.
And either way.
He is sneakily putting together a really good season. And he did it last year as well. I mean, last night, you guys, his line, 17 points, 5 assists, 1 turnover. He was 6 of 11, 1 of 1 from deep, 4 of 4 from the free throw line. Did you guys see the stat that we covered last night with his 3-point shooting since January?
Mm-mm. No.
Third best in the league. He's shooting like 49% from beyond the arc in January, or since January. And on the season, like almost 43%. He is one of those guys that does so much, but it's so subtle how he piles up the stats and how successful he is. And I give him so much credit, you guys, right now, because this is a difficult situation. He's running a team now that has no featured player on it. Again, last night, even though it's a loss, 7 players in double figures.
Well, that's kind of, you know, what I was thinking with both him and Ty Lawson. We're going to see, and we have seen since DeMarcus is gone, this team has become a lot more guard-centric. And it's basically him and Call us in and Ty Lawson, Katie, those are the featured guys now.
Yeah, and they have to do that and get other people involved.
Mm-hmm. And so it's going to be really interesting over the last, what is it now, 19 games left in the season to see who kind of emerges as the focal point, so to speak. And that's what we're going to see. Like, how are Darren and Ty Lawson going to get paid? That's going to play out a lot over the next 19 games.
No, they're both playing for paychecks, and I don't mean that to say they're not playing with heart. I mean they're playing for contracts. Yeah,
right.
They've got contract years going. I guess my overarching point is that I think Ty Lawson has either met or surpassed 99% of anybody's expectations coming in, and I wanted to recognize that. I've actually been really happy with his play, with his demeanor, with his attitude. Now, I don't know what Ty Lawson does off the floor. I can't speak on that. But to be honest with you, if he's not breaking any laws, I don't care what he does off the floor. What I do know is that on the floor, he's playing big minutes. He's putting up good, solid numbers. You talk about Lyons, 13 and 6 assists, but he also had 4 steals. And again, not a single turnover. Katie, if you combine point guards, which is really what we should do, you're looking at Lawson and Collison having 30 points, 11 assists, 4 steals, 1 combined turnover on 12 of 14 shooting. Hold on. I was reading free throws. 8 of 19.
Moving. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, well, I mean, and it's a little weird right now because that's what we always should do. You should combine the positions, but technically, you know, they're starting them side by side right now. And so one of them is they're splitting time at shooting guard, but they have a bunch of other people that cycle through too. So this is how I look at Ty Lawson. The difference between he and Darren Collison, Ty Lawson has put together a really nice season. And you're right, Dave, all of the off-court stuff, all of the kind of red flags when he came in, none of that has been an issue. So that's a good thing for him. He's done a really good job of taking care of what he's supposed to do, produce on the floor, keep anything off the court out of the picture. And he's done that. But when you look at the comparison between the two of them, isn't the demeanor kind of the one thing? Ty Lawson goes out there and he plays. Darren Collison, to me, there is a drastic difference in their demeanor. And I'm just saying from like a competitive standpoint, do you guys feel what I'm saying here?
Like Darren Collison plays harder than Ty Lawson?
It's not like playing harder, but it's like a persona. Darren Collison, he wants to win. Not saying that Ty doesn't, but like Ty's just so like easygoing, laid back. Like he just goes out there, makes it look easy, you know, dumps off assists, plays with Willie Cauley-Stein. And then you've got Darren, who is so involved and so invested in the game. You see him get all pumped. You see him talking to the other guys. Like I just think the way that they approach the game is different. Does that?
Nate, do you see that? I'm not trying to be argumentative, but geez, I see Ty Lawson come in and he's a freaking, not only is he a speedster, he may be not as demonstrative vocally as Darren, but I don't know how to quantify it. Like I always see him playing full speed, super hard.
Absolutely. Yeah. But it's like, he just goes out. It's like, he's like a machine. He just goes out there and does what he does. And it's like, nothing phases him, nothing changes. And you see Darren where a little bit more of the emotion comes into it sometimes. And I think a lot of this too is just interacting with them in the locker room afterwards as well. Darren wears the losses on his sleeve. It's difficult for him. He wants to win. He takes it personally. He feels like he's responsible. And it's just, and it's not a knock against either one of them, but it's like, okay, you've got two point guards that could basically be vying for one position. So if you're in the front office, how do you determine which is which, you know, which way you go?
Overarching theme to today's show for Kings fans, and serious question here. Do you guys still care? I'm curious if fans are checking out or not, honestly, because these last couple weeks have been a lot of interest on the Kings. Now that, I don't want to say reality's starting to set in, but now that reality's starting to set in and the season kind of comes to a close here, kind of a limp, are people looking still interested in this new-look team and the youngsters, or are they checking out? Seriously, how many of you watched and listened to the game last night? 339-1140, 44-1140 on the text line. The Raiders secure BOFA financing. That's how I wrote it up. Yeah. We'll tell you who the money bags are and what this means for the future of the Raiders, at least what we know. Back in 3 minutes on the drive, Sports 1140 KHTK. Struck a nerve with some Kings fans with that question towards the end. Are you still watching? Have you checked out? The text line's going ballistic right now. As someone that never misses a game, I'm sort of playing the hokey pokey with my right foot in. I really want to support the fellas, but I want them to lose for the pick. Rough time for all. From the 916, true fans care. No doubt. Yeah, I hate that. True fans
true
care.
Fans.
Real fans. No, I'm not picking on you, but don't do that. There are some true fans that have checked out that I would call very true fans. It is what it is. True fans care, no doubt. I watch every game mostly to see Scal, Buddy, and Willie. I see big talent in all three, watching the standings closely as well. Somebody else checked out because coach ain't playing the young guys. Another 916. I watch out of fan obligation, but that only takes you so far. From the 916, season ticket holder, check please. It's really a good mix. We'll leave it with this. I do, guys. I watch the games. I have issues. I've watched almost every single game since 88. I can't help it. I love my Kings. I used to go to games. I used to go to games. That's dropped off, et cetera, et cetera. So a very back and forth there. But I'd say more than not are still extremely, extremely interested. And that's fine. It's kind of a scouting thing right now.
Yeah, I mean, that's the biggest part of it, right? And I certainly couldn't fault anyone who over the last decade has said, yeah, you know what, I'm out. Or, you know, for whatever reason
right.
It might be. Like, yeah, I just don't need this anymore, whether you're just exhausted or whatever it might be. But now, I mean, I'm actually kind of more interested, or at least as interested as I was before the trade, because now
different reasons.
Right. Yeah. There are things very specifically that entertain me that I want to watch. I want to see Buddy Hield score if he's capable of scoring, right? Like that's his meal ticket. So I want to see him shoot the ball. Willie's meal ticket is dunking all over fools and blocking shots and high flying through the air and stuff. I'm interested in watching that. And I want to see Scal develop.
What do you think of Scal so far? I mean, he only played a couple minutes against Utah, and then he comes in yesterday, you know, plays a decent amount of minutes off the bench. What do you see in his development, Nate? I'm curious.
Yeah, go ahead.
I just think it's really interesting that, I mean, he's obviously got a long way to go in terms of his strength. And what was it the other night? I mean, if I took a shot every time Grant said, imagine that guy with an NBA body in a couple of years, I wouldn't have made it to work the next day.
Good point.
I mean, it's like I said, I think it was last week, like a year ago at this time, this guy couldn't even play basketball barely. Like he was barely an NCAA Division I quality player.
Right.
He had the size, but what did he average, like 5 points or something like that last year?
And not a whole lot of minutes either.
Right. I mean, he could barely crack the lineup of a Division I basketball team at this time last year. And now here he is doing things that look like he belongs on an NBA court at times. That's a positive to me. And you hear about a guy being a gym rat. I keep getting to thinking, like, at some point you do have to have talent to override all that stuff. But it's very clear the type of player that Vlade is bringing in. And that's all those guys with that Isaiah Thomas-like work ethic that want to be the first dude in the gym and want to improve and really don't care about much of anything else other than being a gym rat. And it really doesn't matter how much talent you have. If you don't have that in between your ears, you're going to have a listless NBA career at best.
Right. Well, this is, 20 minutes last night for him, 4 of 8, 6 boards. He had 2 turnovers, which is not bad at all. 10 points. And this is what I've liked about him so far is we talked to the head coach of the Bighorns, and he was talking about what he tried to impart on him is, hey, you need to get rebounds outside of your area. How active he is, I love it. And that's something that some players just get it and some don't. But you guys, like, his instincts are there. Like, his turnaround shots, like, the shots that he knocked down weren't because plays were called. And he ends up with the ball kind of end of the shot clock, and he realizes, A, that he has to do something, which is a big thing for a rookie that hasn't gotten a lot of playing time and didn't get a lot of playing time in college. So he realizes that, has good instincts, and he's been able to make moves that are, like, smooth. And he's got a good-looking shot. Like, I think, most importantly, what we're getting out of this is, man, this kid has instincts, and that's going to take him a long way, especially with his work ethic.
I don't want to get as breathless as a lot of Kings fans are, and I understand why. You're trying to grab onto anything positive about Scal, because I don't want to make expectations too high, and I don't want to set it up to the point where if he does anything other than be 20-10 next year, that it's going to be a disappointment
not,
on
yeah,
him.
Yeah, that's not fair. But, you got to put realistic expectations on this kid. Yeah.
But to your point, couple things, and then we'll break, and we'll get to the Raiders at the top of the hour. You were talking about his instincts, and I'll take you back to a specific play. It was either late first or early second. He got the ball with about 4 seconds left at the elbow, and he had a turnaround fadeaway jumper that went in. And I looked at that, and I said, you know what? That wasn't luck. Now, maybe there was a little involved, but this guy has done it enough times to where you look at him and say, he has the potential to just be a knockdown 15-foot jumper guy who's 6'11", 6'10". Yeah, he needs a bigger body, but if I'm looking at the ceiling for Scal Labissiere, it's almost like he's a I feel like it's very similar to how Milwaukee Bucks fans felt in Giannis Antetokounmpo's first year, where you saw a ton of raw potential and flashes of brilliance. I don't know that Scal will ever be as crazy, world-beating, explosive as Giannis. He never will be, because no one will. But I think that's an okay way to look at him, that if he puts it together, if he adds on the beef, and he continues to develop at this rate, the Kings are going to have themselves a nice starting power forward. And, Katie, you mentioned talking to the Reno Bighorns head coach. I assume you're talking about Derek Martin.
Yeah.
I think we also need to give a round of applause to Derek Martin and look at, you know, we can't look at Papi Giannis necessarily, but when you look at Malachi and Scal's development down in Reno and then what they brought up here, I think it needs to be recognized that we've killed the Kings for player development in the past, and they're not there yet. But they've developed those two players, and they're much better players now than they were a few months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because of Derek Martin in a lot of cases. That coaching staff deserves a lot of credit. That's what the Kings are trying to do, and I think that paid off for them. We'll take a break. Raiders financing. We'll do that at the top of the hour. Vince Young is in the news. He's got a new business. We'll tell you what that is.
Huh?
And, yeah, he's got a new business. And speaking of new businesses, hey, Nate, Tom Brady has a new business.
Oh, perfect.
Oh, is it footwear to go with his pajamas?
Not quite. Oh. Although maybe he could design some footwear like some other footwear we were talking about to order things from his new business.
He's already taken footwear. He's an Uggs guy.
I'm talking about adjusting that footwear like the footwear we were talking about yesterday. It all makes sense in a second. and by the way, Andrew Bogut, we'll tell you how much he got paid per hour for his work with the Cleveland Cavaliers. We're back in 4 minutes on The Drive. Sports 1140 KHDK.